Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying, skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. What a difference the weather. I mean, it's rained. It's been a gray day, but temperatures never made it out of the 70s today. I mean, it's been so strange. Hey, the great news is it looks like the rain is gone now, and it'll be very pleasant weather for high school football tonight. We've got Auburn High football coming up over on our sister station Wings 94.3 tonight. 6:30 airtime, 7 o'clock kick, and Scott Bagwell will be joining us in about a half an hour right here on The Drive to preview tonight's region opener, Auburn and Enterprise over at the Duck. So we'll talk with Scott about that in a little bit. Auburn coming off that very, very impressive opening season win at Hoover last Friday night. So that will be going on here in hour number one, and then we'll talk about last night. Ugly start for the Florida Gators. I stuck with my pick of Utah winning. I thought it would probably be more competitive than that. Florida shot themselves in the foot a lot of the time last night, but that does not look like a team that's going to win a lot of ball games. Now, it's early, and I don't want to get too much into the overreaction from game ones, because a lot of teams, most teams are going to look a whole lot different a few weeks in than they did in game one. But that was not a pretty start for Billy Napier and the Gators last night. Hour two today, our first weekly visit with Don Dunn, former Auburn defensive line coach and pitmaster, will be joining us at around 5:15. And, yeah, today I think we'll get some thoughts on season opening, you know, some thoughts on, you know, mindsets and preparations for season openers. Then we'll get his thoughts on what he thinks about tomorrow's matchups, including Auburn and UMass. And we'd love for you to join in as well as we just get underway here on the Friday Drive. It's Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls here on the Friday edition of the Drive. This weather, I love it. It would be great to this is kind of weather I could curl up and read a good book, and we may have one to give away here.
So you were able to watch Florida Utah.
Well, yes, because I don't have that provider.
Oh, we can say it's national news. I mean, this is
Charter. I know it is. I was going to ease my way into it.
A dispute between Charter and Disney that had the plug getting pulled on,
and that has created a dispute between Charter and its customers.
Indeed,
a big time dispute between Spectrum and its customers.
Drew doesn't know what we're talking about. So
Spectrum.
Last night,
yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Last night, just as the Florida-Utah game kicked off, Spectrum providers got a notice that Disney and Charter were unable to come to an agreement, and the Disney family of networks, including ESPN and all of the other ESPN networks,
They were not available last night.
Are unavailable on Charter
Spectrum.
On Charter Spectrum, yeah. It's the I believe the company is Charter and Spectrum
company is Charter, but Spectrum
yeah,
is
Charter
the,
Spectrum is the
TV provider.
Is the TV provider that left a lot of people scrambling last night, and folks who want to watch the football games this weekend.
That's right. Auburn's on ESPN tomorrow.
Auburn's on ESPN tomorrow. As you know, a lot of college football games on the ESPN family of networks. LSU, Florida State is the Sunday night game. That's on either ABC or ESPN. I forget exactly which one, but it's, I mean, these are games. A couple of them are available on broadcast television on ABC, but for the games that require a cable subscription, the games that are on the ESPN family of networks, if you're at the moment, Charter Spectrum subscribers do not have that bundle. And
I don't think they're going to have it this weekend.
Well, the language,
a lot of people feeling, oh, they'll get it worked out tonight.
An 11-page document proposal that went from Charter to its shareholders today that raises the alarm about it's not a matter of, oh, yeah, let's just pay more money for ESPN and pass that on to subscribers. This might be one of the canaries in the coal mine for the pay cable model in general, because you've got Charter now talking about, well, if we can't make a deal, maybe we pivot away from offering a cable package that includes ESPN, which, you know, I mean,
yeah, good luck with that.
I think ESPN is
cords are being cut faster than ever right now.
And you know, if just taking sort of a clear-eyed view of cable right now, of what you're getting, like, you know, there are some original shows on Bravo that rate well. There's football and live sports on ESPN. Cable news networks have a couple of draws.
Mm-hmm.
There's pro wrestling shows that do well on USA and the Warner Brothers Discovery networks. But there's never been less, you know, sort of being offered by the by cable companies, especially when it comes to the as far as what you can watch exclusively with access to a cable subscription. And so this doesn't seem like something that could be resolved quickly and could be an important step, as you know, ESPN talks about one day maybe having to bypass the cable model and go directly to customers. I mean, there's 70 million people paying carriage fees. Well, it's about 70 million people subscribe to a cable service that includes ESPN right now. That was before last night.
Mm-hmm.
That number has changed at the moment, but that's tens of millions less than were subscribing to a package that included ESPN a couple of years ago, and the trends are all going in the wrong direction. And I just feel like last night might have been kind of an important moment in the future of the pay cable model and the future of ESPN.
And something else to think about. Those folks, including you and me, who don't have and have had another way. Now, this wouldn't include you, but it would me. Folks that have had other ways of accessing ESPN, but are relying on Spectrum for internet, don't think that that's going to stay the same. If they lose Disney and ESPN, I mean, Disney's properties, including ESPN, the internet cost is going to go up.
Well, and there may be some people who decide they don't need internet service from the same company they were getting cable from.
If they have options,
but that's that's something. I mean, usually those kind of costs are baked into a cable subscription. You know, it's, I guess conventional wisdom is the amount of money, you know, the cable companies have factored in what it would cost to lose a cable network when they make decisions like this. Mm-hmm. And for Spectrum to even consider that a future without the Disney networks could be more profitable than giving ESPN, you know, what they want. I mean, just to me, it's trouble in the short term for people who wanted to watch last night's football game or
it's going to affect a lot more people than just that.
U.S. Open tennis and stuff like that. But no, this is it goes hand in hand with another story, which is the conference realignment. You know, we're seeing...
Oh, yeah, with the ACC adding Cal, Stanford, and SMU today.
Yeah, it feels like it's getting more and more exclusive to be in the top tier of college football, and we're seeing programs sort of getting jettisoned now, and Cal, Stanford, and SMU will be joining. How think about that, Bill, just a throwaway story.
And by the way, Cal, Stanford, and SMU are now in the ACC.
Yeah, by the way, Cal, Stanford, and Southern Methodist will be in the ACC starting next season. Pac-12 now, two teams. After this year, you've got Washington State and Oregon State, only two teams officially in the Pac-12.
I don't think they're going to be continuing that.
Two teams does not
the
a league.
Pac-2. They just wide out the one.
Does not a league make.
Pac-2.
I mean, Army and Navy aren't a conference, right? So I don't think Washington State and Oregon State get to be one.
Army and Navy would be more viable conference. The service academies are a much more viable conference than Oregon State and Washington State. All right, we're just getting underway here on the Friday Drive. We gave you some of the things that we'll be talking about. Hey, we'll leave a lot of it up to you, though. Give us a call on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, sponsor of hour number one of the drive. And where you're always number one. And the number to get you through is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform or go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center. That's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Spectre is up first. Hey, Spectre.
Hey, I'm going to call in and let the people know I'm a Charter Spectrum customer, but I'll tell you a way to get around it. If you have a streaming device like Roku or something like that, you can download the ESPN app and get the game through Roku.
Well, now, you're still going to need, if you're trying to watch tomorrow's game, you're going to be asked for a... Like, you're going to still need...
Sign in with a provider.
Yeah, you're going to need a provider that gives you access to ESPN. And I don't know if the... I think Charter Spectrum subscribers who were able to access ESPN that way also lost access to that when the plug was pulled last night.
It may not have yet, but it will. If that remains the same, if they do not have an agreement with Disney, I'd be surprised. You'd still be able to sign in for a day or so, but that's going to go away.
Certain events are on ESPN Plus, and those are, you don't need a cable subscription to access those, but certain things in the app are paywalled to where you need to. If something's currently airing on ESPN or SEC Network and you try to watch it through the app, they'll ask for proof that you subscribe to ESPN or the SEC Network, which I think now with Charter Spectrum, that's no longer the case until they make a deal.
Yeah, you're right. But right now, mine's working fine.
Don't turn it off.
Till tomorrow.
Keep it on the whole time.
Stay in line.
That's what I mean. Stay online, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm only doing it for the DVR section.
Sure. That's going to bother a lot of people, too, the folks that are going to the game. I love to, I always record games, and I'll watch them later after I go.
Yeah, I do like a coach does. I break down the film by rewatching it, slowing it down, slow-mo and everything else.
Well, I'll tell you what, Spectre, when we have a moment, and first and foremost, we want to remind people you can hear the game on ESPN,
absolutely,
on Wings 94.3 tomorrow, Auburn Sports Network here on the Auburn Network family of stations. So Wings 94.3, yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you something else about that. Since y'all changed everything around as far as the radio goes, can you pick up Andy's broadcast on a streaming device anywhere?
Yeah, so you got a couple options there. Auburn has auburntigers.com carries the game online. I think it's Auburn. If you were to go to a web browser,
go to Auburn Tigers.
auburntigers.com/listen. They'll have the live broadcast from pretty much anywhere with an internet service. We'll have it digitally, and
you can download the Auburn Athletics app, and you can just Google, however you get your apps.
And
either.
I think the Auburn Athletics app, and I don't want to, if I'm wrong about this, someone will correct me, I think it takes you to auburntigers.com/listen. It's another way of going to the same web page.
That hasn't changed since last year either, has it?
Well, I mean, they've updated it's the app looks a whole lot different than it did, and it's a lot more easily navigated, I believe, than it was.
But the broadcast you're looking for online would be auburntigers.com/listen.
Got you. Well, I was just wanting to call in real quick and let everybody know what I'm doing.
Yeah, well, good luck. Good luck with that, because I remember the last time something like this happened. I had access for a day or so, and then it was gone.
There was talk of folks last night were having sort of differing reports about whether or not they could access Florida, Utah via the app if their TV provider was Charter Spectrum.
Message saying that Disney's wanting to jack the prices up.
Well, it's pretty much a dispute between the company Disney ESPN and the cable companies that pay the fees. That I mean, Disney represents, and they understand that without ESPN, a lot of folks may not subscribe to cable at all, and so that they want to be compensated. Thusly, the cable companies are saying, hey, we're trying to run a business here, and if we keep paying you more and more every time there's a new deal to renegotiate, eventually there's nothing left for us.
Well, if y'all talk about something different, I'll maybe call back later on.
All right, Speck.
See you later, bud.
334-321-1390. Yeah, I had Dish a few years ago, and then we all of a sudden lost NBC, and it's like I started looking around.
Right, and so I will offer, because look, so we're company men first and foremost. So if you want to listen to the game, ESPN, or I'm sorry, the broadcast, the Auburn Sports broadcast, will be on Wings 94.3. So we've got Wings 94.3 tomorrow. Listen locally. If you're a Charter Spectrum subscriber who wants to watch tomorrow's game legally some other way, there are streaming services that have free trials that give you access to ESPN.
Oh, yeah.
YouTube TV, Hulu with live TV, mm-hmm. Sling, Fubo. There's a DirecTV one. I think it's called DirecTV Stream.
Right.
Something like that. So there are multiple streaming services with access to ESPN that you can try. Most of them offer a free trial, and that free trial will get you access to tomorrow's game. Long term, I don't know, you might want to shop around for a streaming service.
That's right.
Check out
one of those free trials if you want to stick with it.
If you want your cable provider to have ESPN and they currently aren't offering ESPN.
All right. Yes. We're just getting underway. Anything you want to talk about, obviously want to preview tomorrow's game and other games. Look back at last night, and we'll talk some Auburn High football here in about 15 minutes. We'll get to our first break here this afternoon. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
Inspired by the bold
and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls on a sort of, it's a gloomy looking Friday. It has the look of winter, doesn't it? It's crazy. We were 100 degrees just a few days ago.
I mean, when was the last time we started the show and it was like under 80 degrees outside, right? I mean,
months.
I feel like we got to go back to football season or something.
No,
right?
I think we had a cool snap in like June.
That's right.
We did talk about
how it wasn't going to last.
But this is crazy. And then tomorrow it looks great. Looks great for football tomorrow with a temperature in the low 80s for the high. I mean, I don't think it hits 80 degrees till after noon tomorrow.
Yeah, expected time at kickoff, checking iPhone. I think they got it still at 82.
Yeah, I saw 81 on weather.com.
Yeah, I mean, it just could be with some cloud coverage too. So I mean, it could be a really nice day for folks considering what we could have gotten.
Thinking it was going to be heat stroke time just a week or so ago when it was so hot over the weekend. So that is good news. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Yellowhammer is up next. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. So I was listening to your opening salvo, and it sounds like there was a bomb drop last night to where we're in the world of iffy. I had planned to go uptown to a local establishment where they have a bank of TVs and watch the game, but is that in danger?
Well, it depends on how they access ESPN.
I might call ahead if you're planning on going anywhere to watch, just because there's I think some play. I mean, I don't know. I haven't talked to anyone about this. I imagine there were a lot of bars and restaurants that were scrambling, because they planned on showing the Florida game last night, and suddenly those plans went awry. So yeah, I would think it's especially with a couple days' notice, I would think places could work around it. But I might consider calling ahead, Yellowhammer.
We didn't get a couple days' notice though, did we?
Oh no.
Well, they got, for the Auburn game, it's nearly 2 days.
But for Florida fans last night, for that Florida-Utah game, their notice was like, hey, sorry.
Yeah, they found out at kickoff.
Yes.
Well, it seems timed to be similar to extortion almost.
Well, that's the way these deals go, though. I mean, sometimes they're able to strike deals, but lately, it seems like it's not so common.
I'll tell you what, it's one would think the timing plays in ESPN's favor, because this is a time of year when people are more interested in having ESPN than they might be outside of football season. And so if this had happened in March or April, maybe there's less urgency from both sides, but especially Spectrum, to get the ESPN network shows back on their airwaves. But in football season, with games on Saturday and Sunday, Monday Night Football around the corner, it's pretty important to get them.
You're a desperate viewer. Is there an option that somebody could do to ensure anything?
Yeah, if you've got, as Dan was saying, if you have internet access, there are quite a few streaming services that you can at least get a free trial and be able to use probably over the weekend.
If you don't want to just switch outright, there are at least free trials that offer access to ESPN on those streaming services. Like we listed a couple of them: YouTube TV, Hulu Live, Sling, Fubo, DirecTV streaming. Like there's multiple services, but yeah, that would seem to be your best bet if you're someone who is without access to ESPN and wants to watch tomorrow's game on TV.
Okay, well, thank you all for the path forward.
The warning, that's right. Appreciate it, Yellowhammer. 334-321-1390. That game was played last night, despite the fact that a lot of people couldn't watch it.
Yeah.
And Billy Napier and Florida and Florida fans probably wish nobody could have watched it last night.
I think Billy Napier is probably glad if folks weren't able to watch that game in Gainesville last night.
My goodness.
Bill, when you've had the kind of offseason that Billy Napier's had, and there's been the rumor and the pressure.
You had the kind of season that they had last year and then the offseason.
How about the kind of ending you had to that season? I mean, it's not just losing to Vanderbilt in Kentucky. It's getting run off the field in the Las Vegas Bowl against Oregon State, kicking a field goal late in that game to not get shut out.
That Oregon State team we were just talking about a while ago, that's one of the Pac-2. You can't find anybody to take them.
But to see that, and then for Florida to just look so out of sorts in the opener.
They didn't look well coached.
Mental mistakes.
Last night. Yes.
No, they didn't. And that's a problem for Billy Napier.
Yep.
To have his team play
so many
might have been their worst game under Billy Napier, all things considered, to play it in the opener after this offseason.
That's a good Utah team.
It's a good Utah team. First play of the game, Utah hits that touchdown with the backup quarterback to sort of set the tone. How about when Florida forces, this is a microcosm of what happened last night, when Florida forces the punt on 4th and 3, and do you know what I'm talking about?
When they field it at the 5?
When Florida forces Utah to punt on 4th and 3, sends two players out there with the same number.
Oh, punt return. That's right. Two number threes.
And it's first down Utah instead of a punt that
I heard Billy Napier after the game go, we shouldn't do that. No, you're right.
No.
You're right. You shouldn't do that. Somebody should be watching.
Okay, tell you
what. So you should know who your special teams guys are.
A couple more games like that, you won't do that.
No, he's right.
You won't do that anymore.
334-321-1390. Let's get to Steven before we get to our bottom of the hour break. Hey, Steven.
Hey, how are y'all?
Doing fine.
I got a couple. I had one thing, but I was going to respond to the Florida thing because I was watching last night. Do you think maybe if they had taken some of those points early on, they might have had a better shot going forward? That's what I was thinking.
I
just kept going forward and missed the field goal too. So.
Well, yeah, missing the field goal hurt them, and maybe that had something to do with their decision to be aggressive and chase points. But no, you know, I mean, I'm usually
the points.
I like aggression, you know, and you know, gambling's great when it pays off. But on the road against a quality opponent, yeah, I'm usually team take the points.
Yeah, and the other thing I was calling about, I don't have the issue with ESPN because I've got the DirecTV. But I was thinking about, we currently don't have CBS right now, but I can still watch the local channels on Paramount Plus.
Right.
The reason I bring that up is if you have a login for Spectrum, you could log into the streaming app, and I don't know how ESPN would kick you out because it's not a national Spectrum issue. It's a local whatever Spectrum issue it is. So you should be able to log into your TV provider on the ESPN app and watch all this stuff.
There were questions last night from folks having problems on social media attempting that. Like, I don't know if, like, I can't speak
they were
to,
able to
if you're if you have crazy. If Charter Spectrum was your ESPN provider until last night, I don't know if you mm-hmm. can use Charter Spectrum as your provider in the app. You know, when they ask you for a TV provider for
right.
something on ESPN or SEC Network. I don't know if you can use Charter Spectrum and get through. I've had someone reach out to me since we started doing the show and say, I tried it and it does not work. So we've had some folks say, yeah.
Well, see, what happens is a lot of times if you're already logged in on your TV or whatever device, it doesn't ask you for the login again, and you
right.
usually just keep going. I've had that happen before. I was like, if somebody's already logged in, now I can try to log in again. Maybe they're cutting people
out.
The
ESPN app asks me for my provider more than just about any other app.
It does.
Too.
You're right.
Like, I feel like they're constantly checking for that.
And it gets so confused sometimes because I am a Spectrum Internet and YouTube TV, and it wants to assume that I am Spectrum and I no longer have Spectrum TV, and I can't get to ESPN a lot of times there through the app for the ESPN Plus events.
Well, I'll just leave it here. It sounds like ESPN and whoever's going to have to start cracking down. People are going to start sharing passwords like on Netflix.
I think that might be happening.
I mean, there's any number of ways people might try to work around it. But yeah, Charter says that Disney's being unreasonable with the amount of money that they want, and Disney's saying, well, that's the market.
That's the way I felt about Charter. They were being unreasonable with me about the money.
Well,
so.
Disney's saying, if you think that's unreasonable,
yeah,
wait until we remove the channels from the service. We'll see how reasonable people are then.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Scott Bagwell, voice of the Auburn High School Tigers, going to join us. We'll talk a little Auburn High as the Tigers get ready for region play tonight. So stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan, 23 minutes away from 5 o'clock. We spent a good bit of time. I mean, it is a big story. It's a big deal. And especially here locally, too, for folks that were just planning on watching the Auburn-UMass game tomorrow on ESPN if they had Spectrum. So we just wanted folks to know. And we'll talk some other things.
I mean, there's college football tomorrow, so this show doesn't need to be about the business model of pay cable and the viability of ESPN and Spectrum or anything like that. But like,
it's a story worth.
Oh, it's a bombshell
worth noting.
I mean, it is a huge. I mean, and the ACC expansion is a big story too.
It really is. I guess names don't matter anymore. We talked about that yesterday. Big 12 doesn't matter. Big 10 doesn't matter. Now the ACC name.
Well, the numbers,
numbers don't matter,
right?
So the name shouldn't matter.
I mean, we have the Big 12. You know, hadn't been the hadn't been exactly 12, and they've been shaking.
They were less. Now they're more. All right. So anyway, we'll talk about quite a few things this afternoon. As we mentioned, we're going to talk some high school football right now, as we're joined by the voice of the Auburn High School Tigers, and that is Scott Bagwell. Scott, how you doing today?
I'm good. Sorry, missed the start of the window, but new equipment, new setup, new everything. So it's a lot going on at the Duck right now.
Oh man, really? Home opener, coming off a very impressive win last week at Hoover.
Yeah, Auburn. I thought Auburn played very, very well. Defensively, played well from the opening gun. Offensively, once they got settled after the first three drives, really looked good. Started with three and outs, and then after that, pretty much went up and down the field at will. What started the game 0-for-3 on third downs. After that, 0-for-3, they went 12-of-16 on third downs. It was an impressive night for the offense once they got going.
Talked to Justin Ferguson on the show yesterday. He covered the game for the OA News, and he was talking about the pressure that the Auburn defense applies. Even a team like Hoover, in the second half, you could really see you could see it wearing on their players.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Goolsby, the defense coordinator for Auburn High, he's going to bring pressure. Last year against Central in the first game, he thought that they were so worried about the pass that they were more tentative. They were more worried about that. They were not as attacking downhill as they normally are. And we saw that in the second time those two teams played, that those linebackers got after it after being a non-factor the first time. So he dialed them up. Auburn got pressure, even though they only came away with two sacks. They caused a number of missed throws. They called a number of early throws and really never let Hoover get settled offensively all night long.
Yeah, and as you mentioned last week, Scott, I mean, the amazing number is Auburn does that with only four returning starters from last year.
Yeah, and defensively, one person who took the field as the starting 11 was on the starting 11 last year. One person. That was the defensive lineman, Deuce White, who had six tackles, two sacks, and a pick. He played like it was not his first game. But also, Auburn did it without being full strength in the back four on the defense. So it was a really big night for the defense. I thought Mike Gunn, the cornerback for Auburn, he's 6'2", Rangy Jr., and Hoover tried him early, and I thought he made a big splash with his first-time varsity start. And anybody, especially any college coaches that watch that film, he's going to pop out.
And they might, you know, there might be some folks there who recognize the name too, and know where he came from. The Enterprise opponent that Auburn sees tonight. What can you tell us about Enterprise?
So last week they jumped all over Eufaula, beat them 63-14. They got SEC athletes. Eric Winters, who has been a starting safety since he was a freshman, now a junior. He roams in the back four and he creates massive issues for the offense. He plays some offense. There's rumors that he's going to play quarterback tonight. There's going to be an option attack by the Enterprise offense. There's been a lot of rumors out there this week about what type of offense Enterprise is going to run. Last week, they kind of ran what they've run under Ben Blackman for about a year or so. So tonight's going to be interesting. I'm interested to see what this offense rolls out there. Enterprise was a team who hit big play after big play in the second half against Auburn last year. And Auburn ended up winning that one, and then Enterprise was able to come back, bounce back, and make the playoffs last year. It's a team with a bunch of athletes, so it should be a really good game tonight.
24/7 has Eric Winters as the number 42 player nationally in the class of 2025, so a top 50 guy, and with room to grow. Could be several Alabama players in that top 50 nationally in the class of 2025, and that Enterprise safety / quarterback
he's going to play offense. The question is what position is he going to play?
Did he play any last week, or did he just
no?
Okay, well, I guess they didn't really need it. They rolled up 63 points without him playing any offense.
Yeah, that's kind of the weird part is just kind of the uncertainty that's coming from just the rumor mill. So we'll see what whenever that starts to happen, we'll see what happens. Bing Blackman is a very good coach, won a state title, played for a couple of more. And that might be part of his gamesmanship. Let some stuff get out, right, and all of a sudden Auburn has to spend part of their week preparing for something you're not going to do.
All right, with such an impressive performance last week for the Tigers, where are you looking for areas that need to show improvement? Because usually game one to game two, yep, that's when especially young guys are going to, get the feel of it now being back home. So where are you looking for improvement?
To me, it's the offensive line. I thought they played well last week in spurts, but it's 4 out of 5 brand new guys, 4 guys that made their first start. And when I talked with the O-line coach, he said it's a group that was close. They were a block away, a couple of different plays. I saw one time there was supposed to be a double team down by the tackle, and he then kicks back into a pass set. So, just small mistakes that kept the offense from really being able to get into a rhythm earlier. I want to see this offensive line and what kind of step forward they take this week, because I think it's a group that has an opportunity to be good. And Auburn's got a couple of really good backs that if they're able to get going, those backs are going to have really, really good seasons.
And, it doesn't hurt when you've got somebody that can drill a ho-hum 51-yard field goal.
It was 50. And when you say it was a ho-hum 55-yard field goal, like it was dead center and it was been good from about 8 yards further out. Cal's Magoo has a big leg, 7 for 7 in touchbacks, and I think it was 7 for 7, 4 to 5 yards deep, mm-hmm, at least. Most of them went into the back of the end zone. There's a reason he's playing in the Under Armour All-American game.
Yeah, so should be a good one. Man, I'll tell you what, the weather, this is great. Great weather. I mean, the rain should be gone.
Yep.
It's going to be very pleasant for folks at the Duck tonight.
Yeah, I think there's looking at the radar, there might be one more band, maybe one more little pop-up opportunity, but after that, it's going to be gone. I encourage everybody to get out. DeMarcus Ware is being honored, new scoreboard, and the ceremonies for DeMarcus Ware, the Auburn High alum who got inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame, and there's an Auburn High School football helmet in Canton. The old school gray with the blue pant, with the blue tiger paw is in Canton, Ohio. All that starts around 6:40. So if you're in town, come out and watch it. If you can't catch it, we'll have all the action for you at 6:30 on Wings 94.3.
And you guys are at least hoping for, expecting to have a chance to talk to DeMarcus a little bit.
Yes. In the first quarter, Jack Hudden around the heat timeout, or if they decide not to have it around 6-minute mark, we're going to send it down to Jack, and Jack's going to get an opportunity to spend about 4 to 5 minutes talking with DeMarcus Ware as he's going to be kind enough to join us on the broadcast and just give his thoughts on what's going on. As first time I think he's been to an Auburn High game in a while, and it's for obviously a very, very cool occasion.
Yeah, no question. That should be great. Big night over at the Duck. And hey, this is a big ball game. I mean, Enterprise and Auburn, I mean, you don't want to get off region play on the bad foot, on the wrong foot.
No, it's 2 versus 5 as well for Enterprise. They have Auburn Central to start. Like, it is boom, boom. Mm. So they have an opportunity to stake a claim for region championship. If they win tonight, they get Central at home tomorrow. So then they can say, hey, we're going to be on our way to a region championship,
right,
2 weeks in. And if you're Auburn, you know that to win a region championship, you can't lose more than one game, and so you don't want to have that happen at home in the first game of region game of the season. You want to go ahead and defend your turf and get the season started off right, because it doesn't get any easier next week for Auburn. You go on the road to go play a playoff team in Dothan.
That's the way it is when you're in this region with the teams that there are. So big opportunity. Great to be back at home. Looking forward to it tonight, Scott. Should be a fun one.
Should be a whole lot of fun. And, again, if you're in town, come on out. If not, we'll have all that action for you.
Sounds good. Again, 6:30 airtime over on Wings 94.3, kick at 7 o'clock. You have tons of people in town. Get over there early and check it out. Thanks, Scott.
Yep, y'all have a good one.
Scott Bagwell, voice of the Auburn High School Tigers, as, a top 5 matchup tonight over at the Duck.
Yeah, really cool stuff. You can catch it on Wings 94.3. Busy weekend on Wings 94.3. Auburn High School football tonight against Enterprise, and then tomorrow Auburn University, first game of the season. And, of course, the Auburn Sports Network now on Wings 94.3, so you can catch all that action this weekend on Wings 94.3.
We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
Cole here from University Ace Hardware.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final few minutes of hour number one. And back to the Kia of Auburn Hotline we go. And Mitch is next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. Did one of your previous callers say that he has DirecTV, but he doesn't get CBS?
I think that's what he said.
Okay, because I have DirecTV right myself, and I'm looking at the count. I don't have ABC right now.
Okay, I had Dish, and we lost. Maybe it was CBS? I don't know. It's been so long now. But, I mean, it seems like every service is struggling with – every provider is struggling with at least one service.
Yeah, because, I mean, ABC's got some college football games. I mean, I have ESPN, which, that you know. And then I've also got a digital antenna. So, and that it even says on the screen right now you can, you know, pick up ABC through the digital antenna. Mm-hmm. But when he said, when I thought he said CBS, I was like, well, I've got my CBS.
Yeah, he probably meant ABC then.
Okay, yeah.
Well, there's
it's been this way for at least a month or more.
So there's a dispute going on between a company called Nexstar and DirecTV, which Nexstar owns television stations across the country.
Is it local stations then?
So it's okay. market to market.
Yeah, so it may not be CBS in one market, ABC in another.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, because it says our contract with Nexstar, which owns or controls this channel, has expired. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. he might not have CBS, and I do, and he has ABC, and I don't.
Right, and there are markets where Nexstar owns multiple affiliates too. So there are places mm-hmm. that, you know, DirecTV subscribers may not have.
Yeah, that would really stink. NBC, if you had a situation like where your NBC, Fox, and ABC are all owned by the same company.
Oh yeah, that would be then you know what? I just go get me a very, very long antenna pole and get me an antenna because.
You know, I watched at a over the summer, and it varies by location.
Oh yes,
but I watched really crisp looking broadcast television on a digital antenna over the summer, and I was like, oh, I'm really impressed by how well it picked up that doesn't solve the ESPN problem that people are dealing with right now, but yeah, for network television, that is I think some people might not realize. Yeah, you grab a relatively inexpensive antenna, and you can grab depending on where you live.
Yeah, Mitch, Mitch, you may be old enough to remember back before everybody had cable and when there were antennas at every house.
Oh yeah. My grandparents had one that even had a motor on it.
Oh yes,
they could turn it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember late at night, staying with my grandparents. Just late at night with that antenna they had, which was connected to the chimney on top of the house.
Right.
We would pick up Channel 4 out of Dothan.
Which I get
on my antenna down here. And usually on the MeTV station, which I think is 4.2, during football season, they actually show a local high school football game at like 7 o'clock. And I think last year I got to see Auburn and Enterprise play on the Dothan station 4.2. So yeah, and I live out in the country, so I just need to get me up.
Yeah, you just don't need a lot of hills in between you and the station, or you don't need to be in a low spot.
Right. Well, I'm not. I'm actually on
That's
on
good.
Top of a hill. So yeah, I'm probably gonna. I've got an antenna now, but I just need an upgrade to it. But Hey, that's all I had, guys. I know you're getting ready for your top of the hour break. So War Eagle, and I'll be able to watch tomorrow.
That's good. Appreciate the call, Mitch. All right, we'll step aside. Hour number one in the books. Back for the second hour, and at 5:15, Don Dunn joins us. So we're looking forward to that. We'd love for you to as well here on the Friday Drive.
Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew at the controls. And we'd love to hear from you. Your thoughts on college football. It is here. I mean, I know we had the opening games last week with week zero, but the week one games getting underway last night. And the low light for the SEC, the Florida Gators, defeated by Utah, 24-11, I guess, was the final score last night. Florida, though, just so many mistakes in the opener last night. You've got a couple of games tonight. High school football sort of dominates tonight, and we've got a great one over on Wings 94.3 with Auburn hosting Enterprise in a top five matchup. We had Scott Bagwell on with us in hour number one, previewing that a little bit, and that will be coming up in a little less than 90 minutes with a pregame over on Wings 94.3, kick at 7.
Louisville, Georgia Tech tonight on ESPN.
I'd forgotten that one was live, tonight. Live, so that's definitely the highlight of tonight.
Live from college. The Mercedes-Benz, a couple of places with new coaches in the offseason as Brent Key got the job during last season and was weren't they going to hire an Alabama assistant, and then the thing sort of falls apart and it ends up with Brent Key. I forget exactly how the Georgia Tech coaching search played out last year, but you got Brent Key, who was 4-4 last year as interim, and they were so bad when they made the choice to move on from Collins last year and go with Brent Key. And for him to win four games, yeah, guy probably deserved it, and they were really fired up to have him. So Brent Key, and then another guy, I believe both coaches coaching their alma maters. Bill, you got Brent Key, the Georgia Tech grad, and Jeff Brohm returning to his old stomping ground, Louisville, having left Purdue.
I think Jeff Brohm will do well at Louisville. Probably take him a year or two, to try to get him closer to where he wants them to be.
Yeah, Louisville eight wins last year. Satterfield moves on to take over. There was so much. It's Fickell went to Wisconsin, right? And then isn't that right?
Yeah.
Didn't Luke?
Yes.
Fickell went to Wisconsin. Luke Fickell went to Wisconsin, and Satterfield left Louisville and went to
Cincinnati. Right.
Jeff Brohm left Purdue and went to Louisville. And so yeah, you've had some rotation there, but yeah, Louisville and Louisville receiving votes in the preseason AP poll as well. This is a team that people think could be pretty good in year one under Jeff Brohm.
Oh yeah. So that one coming up tonight. Of course, tomorrow, Auburn opening up its the Hugh Freeze era as UMass comes in. And we're going to be talking with Don Dunn in just a little while about that and much more, talking about getting ready for a season, all kinds of things. Looking forward to spending time with Coach throughout the season on Friday afternoons. Right now, though, let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, because Terry is already hanging on. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Dan. How are y'all tonight?
Doing all right. Good to hear from you.
Good to talk to you. Bill, do you remember those big, ominous-looking satellite dishes people used to have in their front yard? Look like somebody parked a UFO in their front yard?
Oh, man. Yeah, and you see...
We've got one outside the station, Terry. We got one.
But it actually works.
One of them does.
Yeah. But, yeah.
I remember the one.
You'd see a lot of them now that are just sort of skeletons of those giant dishes. Yeah.
Well, I remember we had one, and whenever the camera on the center was pointing straight up, if somebody was watching something, I was watching the Playboy Channel, and me and my buddies used to pull up and say, well, we know what your dad's in there doing.
So, I'm sure he's just watching. Guys, I'm sure he was just watching it for the articles.
Yeah, watching it for the articles. That's a good one. I wish I'd have thought of that back then. Do you guys have any thoughts about is Jacquez Hunter going to play tomorrow or not? I don't think he is.
I would be surprised. I thought all along that it was a decent possibility that he wouldn't, just because no one was saying. Just because he's practicing doesn't mean that he's going to play. A lot of players practice and then aren't available there in the ball game for other reasons. And I thought that Coach Freeze's response last night made it sound like don't expect to see him.
Yeah, he had a great answer. He's been asked that question probably more times than not every time he's got to the podium, and he's given the great answer. It's not a football issue; it's a university issue.
Right, and the fact that Jarquez wasn't there when practice opened, and the university hasn't confirmed anything. We don't know if it was disciplinary or not. You know, with Jarquez not being there the first couple of days, we can assume. Using context clues, but we won't know until the team takes the field tomorrow. I could see Auburn deciding that for whatever reasons amid what they've looked into, there's enough for in-season discipline. I would be surprised. The fact that he's practicing with the team makes me think it's not something that jeopardizes a lot of his season, I would think that if he's not available tomorrow, it would be soon before we see him. But yeah, I think it's I would probably lean towards no if I had to guess right now. But I don't really have that. That's more of a guess than anything else.
Well, I'm all for keeping him healthy and rested, and you know, let him run all over California next week.
I think Auburn will still be in very, very good shape at running back if Jarquez is not available.
Sure. Appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate the call. Thanks. Terry. 334-321-1390. Yes. I think we'll have an idea when we get over there tomorrow and see who's warming up. I mean, that's about as good as it's going to be. I'm really interested to just see what this looks like, see what this group of players that have only been working together for about a month, how they play different positions and as a unit.
What are you, because Auburn has, you know, it seems like Auburn has a pretty substantial advantage in a couple of spots in this game. Auburn is a 35-point favorite at the moment. What are you, acknowledging that, what are you looking for out of Peyton Thorne in a game where, it seems like Auburn should be better than the other team?
Well, I mean, I don't think I'll be able to tell you what choices he should be making, but I think you'll be able to tell if they're overloading, they're coming, how quickly he's able to get the ball out to people and distribute the ball. I mean, that's what I want to see. I know Coach Freeze was talking about Peyton really having a good practice yesterday, so just want to see. And you know, UMass is going to try. Don Brown has a reputation for really trying to mess with quarterbacks, showing them different looks, coming from different directions, and trying to just disrupt timing and things like that. If Peyton Thorne can show poise and the ability to handle that pressure that's coming from different directions, I think that'll go a long way. That's sort of what I want to see tomorrow. You know, we've wondered how much is he going to throw the ball? How much will Auburn throw the ball? Got to feel like UMass first has to try to do what they can to stop the run and then try to put Auburn in obvious passing situations. That's the other thing. Auburn needs to, man, last couple of years we've seen way too many second long, third and long. So, I mean, that's what I'm looking to see. Can Auburn do things to avoid that, put themselves in good yardage situations?
Right, and it feels like for a long time we've been talking about predicting that the other team, not just in this game, but against Auburn in general, the other team will attempt to take the run game away, force the quarterbacks and receivers to win their matchups and take care of the ball. But I think it's...
That's fairly standard for most teams most of the time, unless a team is nothing but a gunslinging team that doesn't even try to run, because you want to make a team one-dimensional.
When you're more, that's usually the strategy when you're more afraid of a team's run game than what they
and you don't
attack through the air.
And Peyton Thorne is proven, but Auburn's receivers aren't.
Right, and so I would still think that rather than daring Auburn to run by trying to take the pass away, mm-hmm. the defense will still try to, maybe they'll load up, maybe they'll cheat up and try to stop the run. In which case, it's going to be on Peyton and those receivers to make the right moves and get the ball to where the defense isn't. And I keep thinking, I don't want to make firm predictions about any of these receivers, especially in the first game. But it does seem like a not just an overmatched defense, but a really aggressive defense could open up some big plays for what could be underneath passes or short passes with the potential to become really big plays because the defense blitzed extra people or had extra people up against the run. So I would think Javarius, Caleb, Jay Fair are the kind of guys that could maybe Brian Battee. These are guys.
Those guys, I could see, that's where I said I could see tight ends and Rivaldo being somebody like that too.
Yeah, I think Rivaldo and Luke Deal especially play a ton early on. And, how often they throw to Rivaldo, we'll see. I think the potential is there, pretty early on for Rivaldo to make an impact. But, yeah, those underneath receivers, I keep thinking, like, this could be a favorable matchup for them.
334-321-1390. That is the Kia of Auburn hotline, and let's get to it. And Jerry is next. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. Looking forward to this weekend. I really hate I turned down the opportunity to have some tickets to go to the game because I have Spectrum. But I just wanted to call and give a shout-out to Ronald Acuna for being the first person to hit 30 home runs and have 60 stolen bases in a year with a month left.
Yeah, that's what's amazing is there's a month left.
Well, that's about all I got.
Appreciate it, Jerry.
I hope I can find a way to watch the game since I turned down the ticket.
Good luck.
Appreciate the phone call, Jerry. On the ESPN Spectrum front, I would be surprised if this was solved by kickoff tomorrow. I would not.
Yeah, don't just hope that happens and not make other plans.
Yeah, of course, Wings 94.3. We'll have the Auburn game in its entirety. You can listen to the Auburn Sports Network call of the game on Wings 94.3 tomorrow. We were mentioning there are some streaming services you can maybe try as well if you're looking for a legal way to watch tomorrow's game and you recently lost access to ESPN.
One more call before we get to our first break, and John is next. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Three quick things. First of all, what's the health of the team? I didn't see Coach Freeze's press conference earlier in the week. Second thing, you guys are down in Auburn. Do you get a sense of just a completely different atmosphere amongst the fan base, just loaded with excitement for the game on Saturday and this upcoming season? It just seems like there's a completely different attitude among the Auburn fan base. And just one final one, if you guys are going to complain about television, Brian Matthews had an excellent take on a podcast last week where he said, guess what, we decided to cut the length of games. And then what did the TV jerks do? Just add more commercials.
That's right.
Maybe one day, someone, or thank you, or someone will actually do something about that. The NFL actually controls the amount of commercials they're in their game broadcast. CBS is unwatchable. But that was the three questions I had. You guys feel free to run with it. Appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate it, John. Yeah, the games thus far lasting about the same amount of time, even though the clock's running. So that's right. Yes, there's no question that the fan base, there is more excitement. I mean, you just look at the people. Like I said, today was a gloomy day, but you see how many people are in town.
I've heard from people who had not been to an Auburn game in a couple of years who are coming for this one. I get the feeling there are other people have stories like that.
So many people, yeah. I've seen tickets going for a little over face value for UMass.
See,
that ought to give you an idea.
Now, there's usually excitement for a home opener. I don't want to seem like it's very different. The thing, we stumbled on it yesterday. The thing that feels most different, I don't think, is among the rank and file fan base. The regular. I mean, sure, they're more excited than they were at the end of the Harsin era, but it seems like the thing that I can't remember the last time, because it might be before my time, Bill, is the notion of, yeah, you get the feeling the power players are behind Hugh Freeze, they're unified,
right?
You know, behind Hugh Freeze, which hasn't always been the case with Auburn's
coach. No, it hasn't.
And the power players.
No, it hasn't. And then the health of the team. I think Auburn's in really good shape for a season opener. They haven't had anybody go down with any injury that should be extended, that keep players out for a while. There may be a few players that get held out tomorrow, but they probably could play if it were a conference game. So I think they'll go into this, and they'll probably be pretty judicious with some of the guys that have been banged up with a road trip to California next week.
Yeah, of the players Hugh Freeze named on Monday, the guys that I think they could take it easy with tomorrow, guys you might not see. Nehemiah,
yes,
is maybe my number one, mm-hmm, as far as he was. They were clearly handling Nehemiah with some caution at the practice on Tuesday, and then I guess who else would be? I mean, Robbie Ashford would be one that,
yeah. Although Hugh last night talked about Robbie having a good week of practice, so we will see. We'll talk more about that in a little while. Need to get to our first break because our special guest Don Dunn will be joining us on the other side. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive. Experience and knowledge from. Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Had a couple of calls. We're a couple of minutes later than we were going to be, but we are thrilled that we are joined and going to be joined on Friday afternoons at around this time by Coach Don Dunn, of course, former Auburn defensive line coach, but he has coached at quite a few places. And, Coach, this is a time where we've just been talking about how excited everybody is for the season opener. Coaches get a little get a butterfly or two before the opening game?
Oh, yes. How you guys doing? Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's an exciting time. You know, you work all year, and it seems like it takes forever to get here, and then all of a sudden it's here. And then you guys know once it starts, the season seems to fly. And, you've got your checklist. You've got your things to do, and you just hope that you've covered everything. The first thing I used to tell my guys on game week was set every clock in your house, your car, and your phones up 10 to 15 minutes early. Do not be late. That's what you worry about as an assistant. You don't want the head coach to give you that look when your players come in late for a pregame meal or a team meeting or a bed check. I always did my own bed checks and wake-ups. I didn't trust the phone calls or the student coaches.
Yeah, listening to Coach Freeze last night, he talked about how one thing you learn during openers is there anyone on the team who doesn't respond well when the lights go on and they're in front of, you know, they'd worked hard and looked good in practice, and then you get them in front of 80,000 plus, 88,000 plus as it'll be tomorrow, it's not a smooth transition. And there's the opposite. There's the players who didn't deliver in practice the way the coaches thought they would, but then you get them on the field in an actual game, and they can turn it on.
Yeah, that happens a lot. And what I always tried to do, or we tried to do, is put as much pressure on them during the week, during practice, during conditioning, during film study and meetings, that the game was not easier, but it kind of came to them a little bit easier, if that makes sense. But, yeah, that's a concern. You know, you have guys that just kind of freeze up, and then you have guys that shine out. But that, you worry about everything as a coach, especially the first game. And I think one thing you don't want to try to do is put in too much for the first game, and don't overcoach. And I know that's hard to do. I remember my first college game, I was screaming watch the trap, watch the counter, watch the pass, watch the draw. And the head coach came down and said, Don, let them play. And that was a good learning point for me. You know, you can't overcoach them. You just try to prepare them in practice. And I think that's what the good coaches, the good head coaches do. They put a lot of pressure on those kids during the time away from the game. And we always try to tell them, you know, game day is your day. That's why you do all this work. That's why you do the, you know, the 12 months a year for game day. But it is exciting. I feel a difference in this town. Maybe it's not. I just feel a little different excitement this year for some reason.
Oh, you're not the only one, Don. There's no question about that. I mean, just the direction feels, you know, it feels like breath of fresh air. It feels like we're headed in the right direction here. I wanted to get you. We're talking about opening games and the excitement here. I'm sure there is an opening game or two that really sticks out in your mind in your coaching career.
Yes. I don't know if you remember, I was talking about covering all your bases. You know, when we went out to Southern Cal, I think Cadillac was a freshman. And if you remember, he got cramps and kind of didn't cost us a game, but it sure didn't help us. We had a very good chance to win. But the reason was he did not eat all of his or any of the pregame meal. And from that day on, Coach Tuberville made us, the position coach, sit with your players. And you could not leave until every one of them had eaten and taken all of their vitamins and supplements and drank a lot of Gatorade and stuff. And you had to wait till they were finished and left the room. And that was a good learning experience. But that game was exciting, and we had a chance to win. That's one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, and then, of course, the next year, not one of your favorites.
No. We were, I think, picked way up there.
Oh, yeah.
All the expectations, and we just laid an egg. But they had a heck of a team. But that's no excuse. We didn't play very well. We didn't coach well. We didn't play well. We got waxed 24-0. It's funny how you remember all those scores after all these years.
Yeah, no kidding.
That was my my first time ever in Jordan-Hare Stadium was the 03.
Well, I apologize.
Was the 03 USA.
It's not your fault. Yeah, at least it wasn't all your fault.
Maybe I need to apologize, Coach. Maybe it was me. Sorry about that. But you know,
whoever scheduled that game needs to apologize.
Yeah. Pete Carroll owes us all an apology. Speaking of that 03 team, one of the things that's different about this season, Jason Campbell will be stepping into the booth. Will Herring will be on the sideline. So a 2003 connections. Some players from that 03 team on the broadcast this year. What can you tell us about your memories of Jason and Will?
Well, I was very fortunate, and I'm very proud of both those young men. Great players, but better people. I had the privilege of recruiting Jason out of Taylorsville High School in Mississippi, and became very close with his dad, who was a coach and a vice principal. And Jason wouldn't say three words when we first started recruiting him, but he's really matured and done a great job. And I'm so happy for him. I look forward to listening to him tomorrow. And you know, Will's just a great kid, a local kid, and just two great, wonderful people. Not only good football players.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that, Don. Have you had a chance to to watch any of Auburn's practices this fall?
No, I hadn't been over there. I just hadn't been able to get over there because usually I'm trying to take a nap during that time so I can go in and start that smoker up.
Hey, you know that meat's not gonna that meat's not gonna grill itself. Right?
That's right. I hadn't had a chance. Coach Bledsoe's invited me over several times. I want to try to get over there, especially I want to see the new facility. I heard it's fantastic.
Oh, it is. It really is.
Oh, the Walt will blow you away, Coach. It is a stunning building. Yeah. I mean, I miss those tennis courts, but I do understand. Progress is progress.
Hey,
that's right.
There's so many new faces on this team. Have you ever were you ever involved in a situation? I guess first year somewhere. You'd have to get to know players. But this is such a different situation where you not only have coaches that are coming in, but half this roster wasn't even at Auburn in December.
Exactly. And that's what's going to be so crucial tomorrow is communication, you know, sideline control, substitution. You don't want 12 men on the field, especially if they do any hurry up offense type things. But it's going to be a good learning experience for coaches and the players. Cause like you said, some of them haven't been together and a lot of the players haven't even been on campus. So it's good that it's a home game. That should help us. But sideline control is so important. Communication, little things like where do you sit on the bench? I know they'll have so many guys dressed out. I think they can dress out unlimited on a non-conference game.
Right.
And you have to worry about those poor kids want to see. Then they're in the way. There's so much going on the sidelines. It's got to be organized. It's organized chaos, we used to call it. But that's going to be important. You know, who's going to make the final decision? You know, the head coach will, but who talks to who on the headset? Little things that a normal fan may not realize it's going on. And one mistake, 12 men on the field. You know, the keys, I think, is always turnovers, penalties, and special teams. And you just got to – it's hard to rehearse that during practice, but it's good that it's a home game. I really believe that always helps to open at home.
Yeah, I remember – yeah, you want to avoid mental mistakes like two players with the same number on
yes.
the on the punt return
last night. Yeah, that's a new deal.
For Florida. And that's – yeah, I remember Coach Tuberville always saying that, you know, the punts – the most important play, because
right.
if something goes wrong, it can change an entire game. Auburn has a couple of guys that have either made the move from high school to college football. You could see some true freshmen on the defensive mm-hmm. line tomorrow, including Keldrick Falk, the mm-hmm. five-star out of Highland Home. You got some guys making the move from the group of five who could be helping Auburn in the front seven.
You got a couple of power five guys,
five. But, right. but especially for the high school and maybe to a degree the group of five players, what's the biggest adjustment they're going to have to make, or some of the biggest adjustments they have to make jumping into the SEC?
Well, I think the first thing is the speed of the game. It's just completely different from high school or even practice. The conditioning, the fatigue, those type of things. It's probably going to be a little more physical than what they're used to, you know, especially transferring in from a smaller program. But I think just the speed of the game kind of takes everybody by surprise the first time. And, you know, the second game should be better. You know, they'd always say you improve the most from your first to second game. But I just think it's the speed of the game. And, you know, the crowd, you just feel like you're going to lose your breath and pass out that first couple of plays you're in there as a true young kid.
We're talking with Coach Don Dunn, former Auburn defensive line coach, who's known for quite a few things. That's one of them. But hey, one of the reasons, I mean, we're thrilled to have you with us, but especially this year. I mean, one of the questions going into the season is, how good is this Auburn offensive line? Is the Auburn defensive line going to be solid? Because apparently in the first couple of scrimmage, the offensive line had its way with Auburn's defensive front. Now, they've got some really good running backs. Auburn has as good a stable of running backs, I think, as you're going to find. And I know the coaching staff has been really pleased with the offensive line that they've put together. It's a defensive line that appears to have some depth, but I'm looking forward to getting your thoughts on what you see from those guys. When you had young guys or inexperienced guys there on the defensive front, what are you looking for here early in the season, you know, starting with game one?
Number one thing is effort. And if you don't have effort, you're not going to be able to do anything. Effort and just getting lined up. I know that sounds simple, but that's one little mistake. Your hat's not in the right gap. You use the wrong arm to take on a block. Little things like that create seams and gaps in the defense, and you have to fill, you know, with your backers, your safeties. But the number one thing I would always look at first and grade on Sunday morning was effort. And then are you lined up right? Not so much did they make a play or defeat the blocker, but were they lined up properly where they could be successful and cover up and let the linebacker, you know, fill the gap or the safety? But I think that first game is, and all games, is effort. That's what I was always looking for.
Well, yeah, this one's going to be, again, as we've said, a lot of excitement. Man, tons of folks in town
yeah.
For this opener against UMass. You got duty in the morning again?
Oh, yeah. I'll be in there tonight early and firing it up. We got a pretty good amount of orders going out, and I don't want to talk ahead, but Larry told me a couple of days ago, get ready for the Georgia game. I said, no kidding. I think he's already taking orders for that. But I told him, just like a coach, let's don't worry about that one. Worry about the first one.
That's right.
One game at a time.
That's
and,
right.
You know, they've played a game, and that's going to help a little bit. Of course, they've never played in one like this. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm anxious to watch it if I can get my TV figured all that stuff out. Last night I was going to watch a little of the Florida game. I just went on to bed.
I think a lot of folks followed your lead too, and just a question of can they get this thing fixed by tomorrow, or are people going to be exploring for other options?
My wife's already called him,
so if that helped, she's got after him pretty good today. I didn't know who she was talking to, and then I just kept my mouth shut. So
well, I think Miss Donna, could get a point across, but. I don't know. You might be exploring some other options here.
I got sympathy for folks who are answering those phone calls today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they didn't make the decision.
It's not them. Yeah. Well, good luck with that. Hopefully you'll get to see it. We'll see what we can do to help you. But Don, yeah, really, really appreciate it. Looking forward to this as we head on through the season. And next week, we'll get some of Don's grades. Maybe not Gray's, but we'll get his thoughts on how the guys do this week.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me, and let's have a great weekend and come home with a big win, and everybody stay safe and healthy.
Sounds great. Have a great Labor Day, Don.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Coach Don Dunn joining us. He will be with us each Friday. Speaking of Labor Day, I want to let you know we will be on the air on Labor Day. There's no way the Monday after the first game we're not going to be on the air.
And we were talking with Don about the addition of Jason Campbell and Will Herring to the broadcast. I was unaware that Don had recruited Jason out in Mississippi.
Yeah, how about that?
Pretty cool story. He also mentioned, Jason Campbell, incredibly quiet when he arrived at Auburn.
Very shy.
Tomorrow he'll be the color analyst alongside Andy Burcham on the broadcast, which you can catch on Wings 94.3. Tomorrow, first game of the season, Auburn Sports Network on Wings 94.3 for Auburn and UMass.
We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in on the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Friday Drive.
Continues. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final 20 minutes here on this Friday. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. And again, we're about... 50 minutes from the pregame over on Wings 94.3 for Auburn High School football. Auburn and Enterprise, as Scott Bagwell said when he was with us in hour number one, a top five matchup, 2 versus 5.
I believe the
huge region game.
The doctor is in tonight.
Rob Pate.
Rob Pate in the booth. Jack doing a great job as well.
And Jack's going to get an opportunity to talk with DeMarcus Ware down on the sidelines tonight. The plan was... at the heat timeout, and then for a few minutes, for a series or so after that, as long as DeMarcus, I think he's got something else going. I think he's got another engagement tonight later on down in Troy.
Well, he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's in demand. I could see folks wanting a piece of his time. But yeah, one of the newest members of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Auburn High School graduate DeMarcus Ware.
And it's crazy. Yeah, and I can't say that. Oh yeah, when I was doing Auburn High play-by-play. While he was playing, I felt like, oh, he's a future Hall of Famer. He was good, but he was a rangy safety who played a little receiver as well.
Did you ever hear about a guy like that who lived up to the hype? Like, was there ever a guy where it's like, hey, in high school, it's like there's this guy, and then it turns out he is going to be like, because I...
Well, I saw a guy.
What's yours?
The one that I saw in high school turned out not necessarily in that sport. But I went home, watched my alma mater play a team in the Escambia River Conference, which it used to be way back in the day. played Baker High School. You guys know where Baker, Florida is.
I know Baker, Florida,
of course. Baker, Florida is. And I came back telling some of my friends, I saw the fastest football player I'd ever seen in my life. And they went, you rinky-dink little school. And it was small little school. They said, probably half the guys around here could outrun that guy or outrun anybody on your team. And I went, well, I don't know. The guy's name was Houston McTeer, who set the world record in the 100 meters not too much later.
Pretty fast.
He didn't need to play football.
When I was a student here at Auburn, I befriended a guy named Ben McKinnon, who was from Sandy Creek High School in just outside Atlanta, Peachtree City. And he told me there was this receiver back at Sandy Creek who was going to be a college football player soon, and people were not ready for what this guy was going to do. And, you know, you're hearing a guy talk about his, you know, an old teammate of his, and you're like, yeah, whatever. It's Calvin Johnson he was talking about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it worked out. It was, you know, I was hearing about Calvin Johnson after his junior year of high school, and, you know, then sure enough, as a true freshman, I think, against Clemson, he's catching game-winning touchdowns, and a year later, as a true
jumping
sophomore,
up over everybody and catching them. And,
as a true sophomore, he comes to Auburn in the 2005 game and looks like a guy who's going to be a future Hall of Famer. And sure enough, Calvin Johnson in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as well.
If you have a brush with fame like that, I mean, sure, we'd love to hear it. Auburn fans are hoping that, you know, some of these guys that they're going to be seeing for the first time tomorrow have careers and futures like that.
Yeah, you know, I was intrigued by Coach Dunn's answer to, you know, what's different when you move to the SEC level. No, not just the, I mean, the speed is part of it, but, you know, the attention to detail at the at the highest level in college football, and it's going to be an adjustment for Auburn's group of five. I mean, could even be an adjustment for Justin Rogers. I mean, he played at Kentucky,
sure.
So it's like you would think it's not as substantial as an adjustment.
Yeah, I was going Justin Rogers, Kentucky, Lawrence Johnson, Purdue. I mean, you know, guys that played in Power Five, you know, at the Power Five level.
I was thinking more Sings,
Elijah
McCloud,
McAllister.
I mean, I think the group of five transfers and Keldrick Falk.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because
Keldrick Falk's going to be on the field tomorrow as a true freshman defensive lineman, and it's going to be different than what he was doing at Highland Home. He looks,
yeah, no kidding.
He looks ready.
Like, oh, he does.
You look at, I mean, that's one
he
guy.
He looks
where,
like a grown man.
I think
no question.
One thing I'm excited about is for people who have been hearing us talk about Keldrick Falk even before he committed to Auburn, when there's a five star at Highland Home that's you know, maybe going to go to Auburn. The fact that, yeah, from there to tomorrow, where he could be one of the first defensive linemen you see, I don't think he starts.
No, I don't either. I think Elijah McAllister gets the start out there. Well, no, Keldrick is playing the end where
is it Marilyn Moe?
Nasilakite.
Nasilakite maybe
should get the start.
Another guy who's no stranger to big time college football coming from Maryland and having played, and he's played several different. We had a caller asking, like, Nasilakite's numbers at Maryland drop from his freshman year to his sophomore and junior year. And I think they moved him inside. Like, this is a guy who was playing more pass rushing. He was more of a pass rusher early, got bigger, and became more of an inside guy. And Auburn's going to play him as a strong side end. So Nasilakite's been all over the field for a defensive lineman as well. But, yeah, I'm really excited that people get to see, I mean, all the new arrivals, but especially Keldrick Falk, because you'll see, you'll understand why this guy was picked as a five-star coming out of high school, I think, pretty early on.
Who is the newcomer you're the most interested in seeing?
Not counting Keldrick.
Let me put it this way. Who is the newcomer who you think will be the most exciting to watch, or maybe the biggest, make the biggest impact tomorrow?
And you can't pick Peyton Thorne.
I guess it could.
It feels like cheating.
Yeah, it does. But I mean,
like,
you could
pick the quarterback.
But that wouldn't be as big a surprise.
No.
But I mean, it doesn't have to be a surprise. But I mean, just some newcomers who you think could have big impacts tomorrow. Let's just do it that way.
Between any of the, I mean, okay, Mardner is a guy I suspect could be limited. He was listed Monday as one of the injured players by Coach Freeze. I thought Tuesday he seemed to be still battling with whatever sort of lower body injury he's been working on. So I think Mardner is somebody you may not see as much tomorrow, but the other three transfer receivers, right, between Caleb Burton, Jair Shorter, and Shane Hooks.
Like, I think Shane Hooks is the one that I would say, you know, here's a guy who has played at Ohio and Jackson State, and now he's getting the opportunity on the big stage. I think he's a guy that some people could go, wow, where, you know, Why haven't we heard of this guy before?
Oh, I agree. I mean, there are a couple of players who are transferring in sort of with the intention of, I'm going to have one great season at Auburn and move on. And Shane Hooks, I think, would fit the bill of, like, this is a guy we've seen in the era of the transfer portal, we've seen players decide, I'm going to make the jump from Group of Five to SEC. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are NIL considerations at play. There's more money to be made as a major conference college football player than as a smaller school player. I think it's also about getting film of yourself against the best possible players to show the NFL draft if you want to do this professionally. And I think that's something that Shane Hooks, you know, if Shane Hooks can translate it to the SEC level, I think there's some NFL people thinking, okay, this is a guy who could play for a long time.
And I think the fact that he has had a very, very good fall against this Auburn secondary, which is a very good secondary, I think that's going to translate well. So, we'll give our thoughts on the game and maybe a couple of other big ball games. I think we about need to get to our final break.
I was going to one more thing, though. Damari isn't a newcomer.
Oh.
He's a newcomer,
but we haven't seen him with an extended, amount of time.
Yeah, he might get the spotlight.
I think he will
for several drives tomorrow.
We'll get to our final break. Back to wind things down here on the Friday Drive.
Hi, this is Michael from University Ace Hardware. I've worked at University Ace.
On the Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Final segment of the week. Once again, want to remind you that we will be on the air Monday, Labor Day, with Brian Matthews here in the studio. And we'll look back at the weekend, obviously break down the Auburn game, the other games, and we'll have all the SEC games in the book. We still will have Clemson and Duke coming up on Monday night. Auburn, all right, so we've done our picks for Brian Matthews picking contest.
Who did I pick? Yeah, good.
I'll tell you what I picked. I mean, Auburn's a 35-point favorite. I wouldn't be surprised, but then it's an opening game. You're liable to have a busted play or two, things like that. My pick was 45-13.
Let me see if I can pull it up, because I think
I thought 35 may be a little much, but I sure wouldn't be surprised if Auburn can get things going. I think Auburn has way too much team speed.
What was your final score
for UMass? 45-13. Is that what you had too?
45-13. We did not consult.
Yeah, we've been around each other too long.
The hive mind is there. Exactly the same score.
Yeah.
45-13.
I mean, not even 42-10 with one in 45-13.
You said that.
42-13.
I go, wait a minute.
Oh, like, yeah. I sent that to Brian on Tuesday.
I sent mine to Brian on, when was the 29th? Was that also Tuesday?
Yes, it was.
Okay, yeah. I sent mine to Brian on Tuesday. 45-13 also my score.
All right, South Carolina, North Carolina. What do you think?
I, you know what? I'm, I don't know enough about North Carolina to feel good about a South Carolina prediction, but I...
Nor do I. Drake May's really good.
Yeah, Drake May's excellent, but I also, I like what Beamer's got going.
North Carolina's defense has not been.
No, and North Carolina's got this receiver situation that they're, you know, starting to sound like he's...
I went South Carolina.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, I was looking... Florida was the SEC team that I was especially pessimistic about.
Me too.
And that
may have been the only SEC team I picked to lose.
You take LSU?
I took LSU.
I took LSU as well. Yeah, I think that game could be very close.
Yep, I think it will be very close.
Florida State is,
and won't be surprised at all if Florida State wins.
Florida State's exciting. If Florida State can have success early offensively, that could put LSU sort of on the back foot.
Yeah, I mean LSU wants to run the ball.
But if LSU I just think trying to be a running, like a running offense, you know, using the quarterback a lot against an LSU defense feels like it could be a recipe for, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Florida State can get things going.
I'm looking forward to that ball game, though. Yeah. That should be a fun ball game to watch. Looking forward to the weekend as well. Looks like great weather for football. Don't forget, over on Wings 94.3, game day on Wings at 10:30 with T-Bone and Jack Hudden. And then, of course, the broadcast, Auburn University, the Auburn Sports Network, Andy Burcham and Company, with their pregame starting at 11:30. And then we're back Monday with Brian Matthews here in the studio on Labor Day.
Bill, I will see you in the press box tomorrow.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. Everybody, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Labor Day. We are out of here.